Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander's Forge. My name is Andy Bentley, and the Forge is an area for me to talk about Magic, Commander, and anything else as I try and drag this thing called mental health out of the gutter. And utterly failing. But that's beside the point. So, by the time you're listening to this, I will actually be on my way to the Bahamas to just get away for a week, you know? It's been a stressful couple of months, and I just need some time away. So that said, I am going to record a couple episodes, and I won't miss an upload for the next couple of weeks, but I'm taking a well-deserved break. So that said, I don't know what I really want to talk about today. I know a lot of great stuff happened in Vegas, but there was no way I was going to be able to swing that trip. And that's kind of the extent on everything I've wanted to talk about. Like, so yeah, I guess there is the Universe Beyond stuff and the Secret Lair stuff I could talk about, but honestly, I just don't want to. Secret Lairs are 90% of the time hit or miss. Sometimes I'm just not feeling the art. Other times, I'm not terribly impressed with the cards that they've selected. And yeah, sure, there's some that I have picked up in the past. And yeah, I mean, it's Secret Lair. There's going to be more, right? And then looking at the Universe Beyond stuff, I'm not the biggest Doctor Who fan. And that's just neither here nor there, right? Like, okay, I took a slight break and I did go look at the Universe Beyond stuff that we have coming up. I may have spoke too soon about some things because they're doing Final Fantasy. And they're doing Final Fantasy as a full set like they did the Lord of the Rings. And I'm excited for that. I don't necessarily talk about, like, my other gaming things that I'm into here, but one of the first RPGs I ever played was Final Fantasy X, and it instantly hooked me. And so throughout my adventures as a gamer, I have played Final Fantasy 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10 2, 11, 11 2, 12, 12 Zodiac Age, 13, and 15. So I kind of like the Final Fantasy world, and I think I'm probably going to really enjoy that set. That said, I also really enjoyed the Lord of the Rings set, so I guess I can't be super surprised. But as far as some of the other Universe Beyond stuff that's been announced, there's the Doctor Who stuff that's coming out in October. I'm not against it. I'm just not terribly interested in it, right? And then I guess the other one that was announced was Assassin's Creed, which just seems odd. I don't know. I haven't seen a ton about what the Universe Beyond stuff is going to be for Assassin's Creed, but I think it does make the most sense as a series of commander decks. And, well, hear me out for that. Each Assassin's Creed has technically more than one main character because you play as the assassin, but then you also play as, like, the current time person in the Animus. So I could see, like, weird flip things, I guess, coming. But I think more likely we're going to see, well, we're going to see an Ezio deck, right? Like, he would be I mean, there's three games with him, right? So he would probably be one of them. And then beyond that, you also have the fact that other than like the first three games, they all have relatively different plot lines. So like four is pirates. So you could have the Edward deck, right? And then you get into like the stuff with Origins and you get, you know, Egypt and you get the Greek one with Cassandra. And then you even get into the Viking stuff. So I could see them going that way. But again, I'm not terribly interested in speculating. I think I'd rather just see what they're going to do with it, right? Now, there is another one that I am slightly more excited about than some of the other ones, and that's the Fallout. I think that one hasn't been confirmed, but a lot of people have guessed that it's going to be a lot like the Warhammer 40K stuff. And then, oh man, how deep into the Fallout lore do you think they're going to go? Are we going to see references to, like, Fallout 1 and 2? Are we going to see something to do with New Vegas? Yeah, I think that's all I really want to speculate about this. I guess Universe Beyond is coming out with some stuff that I'm definitely going to be interested in. Is there more stuff I would love them to be collaborating with? Yes. Yes, there is. Am I going to talk about that right now? No. I'll talk about that in the next episode. So that said, I'm going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I'm going to talk about a deck that I built. Surprising nobody. I'll be right back. Hey, I just want to take a minute to tell you about my Patreon. I know times are hard for everybody, and I know it isn't easy to shuffle around bills and stuff, believe me, I know that. But if you would like to help support the podcast and me, you can find the links to my Patreon in my link tree, which is always put into the description of either the video or the audio, wherever you're listening to it. It would really mean the world to me. Honestly, I'm just struggling to make ends meet most weeks. But that's it. That's all. If you want to help, the links will be where you can find them. And we are back. Now, today we're going to talk about Kaiudai, Soul of Kamigawa. It is 3 and a white for a 3/3 dragon spirit. It has flying, flash, and when it enters the battlefield, another target permanent you control gains indestructible as long as you control Kaiudai. It also has the activated ability for Wooburg to give it +5/+5 till end of turn. So, for a while, I've been contemplating putting back together 5-color dragons, but I didn't want to do the Ur-Dragon. And part of the reason I didn't want to do the Ur-Dragon is because I did that deck before and it turned out to be very boring. So, I wanted a deck that I could still slam all these legendary dragons into. And I did think about doing Niv-Mizzet Reborn as a dragon deck. The problem with that is he really wants you to have 2-colored creatures, and it's hard to fill the deck with just 2-colored dragons. So, that said, he is the first card I want to talk about, because he is in this deck, because there is a good number of other cards I'm going to get into that he can get to your hand. So, Niv-Mizzet Reborn is a 6/6 dragon avatar for Wooburg. It has flying. And when it enters the battlefield, reveal the top 10 cards of your library for each color pair. Choose a card that's exactly those colors from among them. Put the chosen cards into your hand and the rest on the bottom in a random order. So this is just filtering to get to, well, some of the cards I'm going to talk about in a second. Now, I do have some of the other legendary dragons from around, like Kairi the Swirling Sky, just because I had a copy of it floating around, Corlessa the Scale Singer, and Amarith the Lustrious. But the real centerpiece of this deck is actually going to be, well, the 15 two-color dragons we have. And I don't necessarily want to go into each of them, so I'll just start off the first part real easy and say all five of the Strixhaven dragons. That's it. Just all five of them. I'm not going to read them because the three of them are in Japanese, but, you know. Where this deck's really going to shine is the original legendary dragons from Fate Reforged. So we do have all five of those. So we'll start off with Silumgar the Drifting Death for a blue and a black. For a 3/7 dragon with flying and hexproof, whenever a dragon you control attacks, creatures defending player control get -1/-1 until end of turn. Ojutai, Soul of Winter, is 5 white-blue for a 5/6 dragon with flying and vigilance. And whenever a dragon you control attacks, tap target non-land permanent opponent controls. That permanent doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step. Kolaghan, the Storm's Fury, is 3 a red and a black for a 4/5 dragon with flying. And whenever a dragon you control attacks, creatures you control get +1/+0 until end of turn. It also has dash for 3, a red, and a black. After that, we have Dromoka the Eternal, which is 3 green-white for a 5/5 dragon with flying. Whenever a dragon you control attacks, bolster 2. That means, you know, whatever you have with the least toughness gets 2+1/+1 counters. And finally, my OG Dragon Commander, Atarka Worldrender. Man, I built that deck back in 2015. It's gone through a lot of changes, and right now it's actually a black-red deck. And one of the caveats I had for building this deck was that I could not take apart my black-red dragons deck. But Atarka Worldrender is 5, a red, and a green for a 6/4 dragon with flying, trample, and whenever a dragon you control attacks, it gains double strike until end of turn. Yeah. And, honestly, I just want to round out this list with the last five, which are the dragons of Tarkir version of our dragons, which are now Elder Dragons. So we have Dragonlord Silumgar, which is 4 a blue and a black for a 3/5 Elder Dragon. He has flying, death touch, and when he enters the battlefield, gain control of target creature or planeswalker for as long as you control Dragonlord Silumgar. Dragonlord Ojutai is 3 a white and a blue for a 5/4 Elder Dragon with flying. It has hexproof as long as it's untapped, and whenever it deals combat damage to a player, look at the top 3 cards of your library, put one of them into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. Dragonlord Kolaghan is the one that everyone's going to say shouldn't be in the deck, but I'll get to why it is in a second. It's 4, a black and red for a 6/5 Elder Dragon with flying, haste. And whenever an opponent casts a creature or planeswalker spell with the same name as a card in his or her graveyard, that player loses 10 life. That's the reason most people say this card is unplayable. But it also has the line of text that says, other creatures you control have haste. And I feel like too many people miss that. And yeah, there might be the corner case where you actually nub somebody because they're playing like a Relentless Rats or a Shadow Heart, Shadow Priest, whatever they're called, deck, right? I don't like seeing Dragonlord Kolaghan get so much bad press. Alright, let's round this out with Dragonlord Dromoka. It's 4, a green and a white for a 5/7 Elder Dragon. Can't be countered. Flying, lifelink, your opponents can't cast spells during your turn. And Dragonlord Atarga, 5, a red and a green for an 8/8 Elder Dragon with flying, trample. And when a Atarga enters the battlefield, you deals 5 damage divided as you choose among any number of target creatures and or planeswalkers your opponents control. So big, slappy dragons. So yeah, there's a lot of legendary dragons in this deck. But there's also just like 15 more creatures in the deck that aren't legendary dragons. And technically speaking, one's a mimic, so it could be a dragon. And then there's 2 that are not dragons at all. So yeah, I just kind of wanted something new to try, right? And what's the worst that happens? Maybe I don't like how it plays and I end up swapping some things out, right? Maybe I want a different ramp package. Maybe I want to lean heavier on basics and just do basics fetching as my ramp. So, yeah, I don't know. At this point, I have not had a chance to actually play it. So, yeah, we'll see. That said, by the time you hear this, I will be in or near the Caribbean. And I will not be online or around for a week. So, I hope you all have a great time. And I will see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. All of my links can be found in my link tree in the description below. I would like to thank Ian Foss and Cody Mulpey of the band The Crypt for allowing me to use music for my opening and ending, along with Nate and Erica Jacobs for making my original logo. And I would also like to thank Christina McNichol for creating my new logo. And I'll see you next time.